since the RSA meeting.
So is Rajesh going to be joining these calls?
Beginning once I guess he gets funded, yes.
Okay.
You know, we're still one of the things, well, I'll mention it when everyone gets on, but doing the budgets. Texas was very gracious in saying they would consider the 30% F&A rate if all of the other institutions accepted it. And we're still waiting to hear from New Mexico. We have a little bit of a problem with Tesh's budget, and which is something we'll discuss today. But I'm not sure that New Mexico is going to accept a 30% rate unless we make some adjustments. I'll talk about what those are when everyone gets on.
Okay.
I don't know, Dale. Can I just do that? Can I just say we're just going to pay 30% F&A and that's it?
I don't know the answer to that, Ed.
I didn't figure you would, but...
Yeah, I could put you in touch with perhaps Judy Fox, who heads grants management. She might be a person.
I could just email Judy and ask her if I have that kind of leverage or leeway.
Yeah.
I'd guess not, Ed, if it was negotiated. There's a negotiated rate.
Subcontract from the administrative corps.
Okay.
Are really funds given to the administrative corps. And since we don't know who's going to be, we just put in an indirect cost estimate as part of the budget.
Got it.
Something that, you know, we put in and say that the indirect, we're going to fund this project at such and such university and their indirect cost rate is such and such. Say that we're asking for $100,000 for a developmental project, and we are estimating that the F&A are going to be $50,000 or $48,000, I think is what we put in.
Morning, Ed. It's Michael.
Hi, Michael. How are you? Anything new in Boston?
The Red Sox lost last night.
Sorry.
To a 21
shutout.
Shutout. I got to see it.
Right. Good to have a father-in-law who's connected.
No, no. These were cheapy bleacher seats.
Oh, okay.
It's even hard to get those.
Yeah, well... The last 3 days here at San Diego, the Padres have sold out.
You're kidding.
Oh, they were playing Los Angeles, though.
Oh, I see. So they want to see Manny.
Manny was back, yeah, so. That's rare for the Padres to sell out. You
know? I'll bet it is. How's the weather there?
Beautiful. The
June gloom is gone.
The June gloom burns away by about 10 a.m. now.
Uh-huh. Great.
And it's just been very, very pleasant. In fact, I'm thinking of taking the sailboat out on Thursday.
How wonderful. Who's going to ride? Who's going to captain it?
I'm going to captain it.
Uh-huh.
Surprise, surprise. And I'm going to take out some of the people in my lab who helped me move the boat around after the meeting was over.
Wonderful.
The day we moved it was a miserable day, and it was cold and cloudy, and so we didn't really get to sail. We just brought the boat back and docked it uneventfully, which is always good. All right, so we're just waiting for Fung and...
Oh, I'm here.
There, Kathy Sulik here. No. Dan Savage.
I'm here.
Okay. You guys got in. I didn't hear any more beeps. All right, well, I guess we can get going then. The only person who's not here is Kathy. There are, again, once a few items on the agenda, primarily about the developmental project is what I have to report. I contacted both Miranda and Tesh and told them that their projects were ranked for funding and that they should start the processes within their university to get the approvals. And hopefully my research office has now been in touch with their research offices to begin setting up these subcontracts. I asked both of them if they could inquire about whether their universities would accept a 30% F&A rate. Texas came back and said that they would if all of the other, if the other project also would accept the 30% rate. New Mexico said that originally said that the 50% rate was what it was going to be. And then Dan has interceded a little bit, and I think it's now negotiable depending upon whether or not we want to fund a third application. And the third application would be Ludmilla's, which was the biomarker study. And the only the reason that that's under consideration for funding, since it was not the next in line, that it's the only one whose budget falls in the amount of money that we would be saving. So I wanted to talk to you about how you felt about that, whether or not that's something you want to do or would consider, or whether we should take any funds that we have left over in the developmental projects and use it to fund projects within the consortium that have asked for extra money. We have two of those. Phil May has requested extra funds since part of his project was being funded by another NIAAA grant, which was not renewed. And Claire Coles says she's under budgeted and needs more funds to complete her neuropsych assessments. So that's where we are. So we need to make a choice about whether we want to consider funding a third developmental project, and the only project we could consider would be Ludmilla's because it falls within the amount of money that we would have left over in the developmental projects, or whether we would want to shift some of the money that was originally in the developmental projects. We save a few thousand, we save about $20,000 because Miranda's project was not at the full budget that we requested, and we could then use that to support those two projects within CFS that have requested extra funds, Claire Coles and Phil May.
Is 20 enough to do that?
Pardon?
Is 20 enough to cover both of them?
Yeah, probably. We got a Sarah Matson got a supplement under the ARRA funds to help fill out, and with those funds and the, I'm estimating 20. I could probably throw in another 10. We could probably fund Claire and Phil without having any reduction in the F&A paid to New Mexico or Texas.
So the amount of money that was in the Recovery Act for Phil's project, for example, is not enough?
No, the amount of money that Phil's project is not enough. And that was based on he was funding the Plains Indian project with money from another NIAAA grant that was not renewed. And so he basically has lost his staff on site at the reservation. So just other ideas about whether you think if we fund Ludmilla's project, then the University of New Mexico, I think, will take the 30% rate. And Dan, do you think that's accurate?
Let me clarify that. The discussion I had with the Health Science Center research dean indicated that if Ludmilla's project were to be considered for funding, he would accept 32% IDC as the rate. He was also willing to go with me to the main campus research office to see if we could convince them that they ought to support Claudia Tesci's project at 32%. But that was the extent of the conversation, because he wanted to wait and see if funding Ludmilla's was in the realm of fiscal possibility before he initiated that discussion with the main campus research office. And so that's where we left it last week. So
I guess that's the choice we need to make, is do we consider funding Ludmilla's project? And it would probably be, I'm going over the budgets this week, and it would probably be at a slightly reduced rate. I think she asked for about $69,000. And with the money we save, we'd probably have about maybe $55,000 if we could get the 32% rate. Or do we just say we'll just go with the two and use the extra funds to help supplement those other projects?
Ed, could you sort of in a few sentences tell us your expectation that the relatively small amount of money that would be used for supplementation would have an impact?
In Claire's project, I think it would definitely have an impact. If you go onto the Google site and look at the productivity, she has really ramped up, and her budget is relatively small as a subcontract from Sarah's neurobehavioral project. And I do believe that with the addition of an extra tester, she certainly has the kids. She simply doesn't have the infrastructure to get all those kids in and tested.
Yep.
And by hiring a part-time neuropsych person, which she already has identified and she is paying right now, she has been able to significantly increase the rate at which she's testing subjects.
Yeah.
She had, Elizabeth Sal had requested funding to do imaging on those subjects as well, and that would have helped because it would have supplemented their recruitment money, but that was not funded. So I think in Claire's case, it certainly would. Bill is responsible for a very large percentage of the total estimated number of kids that are supposed to be tested. And his rates of testing have not been very good. I don't even think that, and Jill, maybe you could fill me in on this, but I don't think any kids have still been tested in South Africa yet at all.
They just tested their first batch, so we're at 8, but they're supposed to be into the hundreds, at the end of December, so they still have a long ways to go.
And in the Plains?
In the Plains, they haven't had any progress in the last month, but they were at, I think, maybe not even 10% of their goal, so they have a ways to go.
So I'm not sure how much difference that's going to make. But without it, I think we know that it's not gonna, no progress will be made.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. This is Dale. For Northern Plains, it looks like they're on July 1, they're about two-thirds to target. South Africa's just got that slight uptick that Jill mentioned, and New Mexico is very much lagging.
Yeah, and so...
Did I get that right, Jill?
Yeah, I got it on here now. And
I'm actually looking at it, and on that first page, so just where it says Mattson on that tab, it has the percent to the 12/31 goal, and Northern Plains is at 25%, South Africa is at 6, and New Mexico is at 11.
And all of the other sites are, like Clare has now jumped up to 55%. San Diego's at 81%. Los Angeles is as close to 90% for their annual goal.
Yeah, clearly New Mexico, Northern Plains, and South Africa are lagging.
Right, and there are the projects under Phil's control. So, you know, without the money, it's probably not going to significantly improve. With the money, I think there's a possibility.
So, just to summarize, Clare's project would be helped significantly. Phil's might be helped. There may be other factors that would mitigate against it helping, but without the money, we might not expect to see an increase in his enrollment. And Ludmilla's, I'm just looking at the scores, as you pointed out, was not ranked as high as a number of them. But fits because of the budget.
Right.
And I think based on that information, my own recommendation would be that we supplement within the consortium and wait on Ludmilla's proposal.
Okay. Any other comments on that, or are people in agreement?
Another way of looking at it is that the Ludmilla's would be added onto the Chambers Ukraine project, correct, if I'm remembering right?
Right. Be a standalone developmental project, but that's what it's dependent upon.
And that project is at 32% at this point. And so adding Ludmilla actually strain that even more at this point if they're having trouble keeping up with their own projections?
I don't know that. I remember Ludmilla's proposal, and I think the reason it didn't score as high was that there was some questions about the utility of fatty acid ethyl esters and the fact that she wasn't going to be looking at hair. So in terms of getting something new that would date.
No, I'm not questioning, you know, the ranking. It was, you know, if we were to go out of line, or out of order.
Right.
Because of budget, and to add that project now to the Ukraine, it may just challenge that project even more, and they're already behind on their recruitment, too.
Right. Okay. Well, that's consistent with my thinking. How do others feel?
One thought I'm having is if some of this money were to be folded back into Phil's sites, I wonder if it, since there is the administrative supplement that his sites are going to benefit from, If this additional money couldn't be held out there as perhaps a carrot down the road, you know, if targets are met, et cetera.
My sentiments were that that money would be doled out on a per-case basis, that so much would be available for every additional child put into the pool. The supplement that was given to Sarah was basically to pay for individuals on site for recruitment purposes. So it's going to pay, I think, 25 or 50% salaries for individuals at four sites to maintain Phil's recruitment efforts at those sites. But there was no one funded to do the neuropsych assessment. And so all of those are being done by Jill, what's the guy's name in New Mexico? It's not Romero. It's
Alfredo. And hold on one second, too. I just wanted to say something about Chambers and the Ukraine. The piece of her on the Farood 3D imaging project, that's just one piece of her project. So one piece at 32%.
Yeah.
I know that there was a disc that was in transit that hadn't got to them by the time of this update, so their number is probably higher. But I think their numbers as far as just running the Chambers project are actually quite good.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to ask you where you got that 30%, which project it was. And that's the facial imaging component there. So that's more a function of when Tatiana gets a camera there. and someone to take pictures than it is a function of TINA.
Got it.
Yeah, not all neurobehavioral projects have this ongoing progress update. It was just the ones that were needing a little bit of a push.
But so what I was thinking doing, Dale, was to basically, since I could control that money, would be to let Phil know that, you know, if you get 10 kids in there, we'll give you an extra $500. If you get 20 kids in there, there's an extra $5,000. So kind of as a motivation to, if he hires somebody, he'll know he'll get the money if that person does the job. But if the doesn't do the job and he doesn't get kids tested, then that how he pays that person is his problem. You know, so that's the kind of carrot I was kind of thinking of holding out for Phil.
Sounds good, Ed.
All right, so Dan, do you have any, I know that you have an interest here, so.
Well, an interest and a conflict, too, so I didn't want to weigh in on the evaluation. So I don't disagree with anything that has been said here. I think that if Claire's and Phil's projects are, you know, well, I think what you're doing with Claire's, I totally agree with Phil. I think the incentive idea is a good one, and sort of follow that closely over the next 6 months. And then, I mean, the issue with Ludmilla's project is, I guess we'll wait and see what happens down the road if other opportunities present themselves.
All right, so we're all in agreement there, and that's what we'll do. The only other issue about the developmental project is when I went back and looked at Hesh's budget, it's over the amount that we specified. And the reason it's over is that she has a subcontract within that to the Mind Institute, and she did not include their indirect costs.
Actually, they are on the budget line and on her budget page, the $19,000.
Oh, yeah, no, it's on there.
Yeah.
But when
it's not included in the total?
There was a limit on the total, on the direct cost that could be requested of $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mind Institute's F&A is her direct cost. And therefore, it went up to about $110,000 or whatever. Close to that,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
And so we're going to have to trim her budget back a little bit since there are not the funds to do that.
Okay.
You know, cause,
well, I think that just needs to be communicated to her. So,
yeah.
But I do know that the Mind subcontract F&A isn't negotiable. I already had that discussion with them.
And theirs was pretty high. It was about 65.
It's 63%, but they're a private institute, and as it was explained to me, they don't have any unrestricted funding resources that they can offset reduced F&A costs. So they really weren't inclined to,
I'll have
you know,
to
consider that.
Claudia and let her know that she's got to bring her direct cost down to $100,000.
So, yeah, I just let her know that, I think.
That's all the money that we have budgeted. And, and since the F&A at New Mexico is 48, 49, something like that?
It's 50%.
50.
It's 50%. So basically all of that money then would be allocated that we have for that project, the full F&A recovery as well as the $100,000 total. So I'll just email her and let her know that.
Okay.
That was the only item that I really had today to discuss. Jill, what was there? You had another, the publication list?
The publication list should always be updated, but I think we wanted to announce a new member on the call.
Oh, John Hannigan, but most everyone that was on at breakfast, John Hannigan is now a member of the Science Advisory Board. So I'm pleased to announce that. He did a very nice job on the reviews of these developmental projects, and we're very happy to have him associated with CFAS. So welcome, John.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's a good thing I have Jill to remind me of all these things.
Then the last outstanding item I had from a couple of conference calls ago was just if Dr. Goodlett had an update on the special issue.
Jill, I just sent a little bit of update on the publication date on the one of the papers. I just sent.
Oh, great.
Charlie, you have any news on that issue?
Yeah, I think I couldn't hear for just a second there. I think the issue will come out in it'll be the first issue of 2010. We're still gathering them up and getting decisions back to authors for revision. But we really are targeting getting most of the issues, most of the submissions back for revision by the end of this month. And it's just a matter of whipping a few people into shape.
How many of the articles are there from CFAS?
More than half. We'll probably have 16 articles. At least half. I know there are seven articles that I can remember off the top of my head from CFAS, and I think there's one or two more.
Other general news about CFAS, NIAAA has arranged a trip that Tina, Ken Jones, and I are going on to Poland in early September.
Where?
Poland.
Okay.
They have been in touch with NIAAA, and they have what they believe to be a significant problem in the number of FAS cases within their orphanage system, and they wanted someone to come over and kind of look and assess it and to consider them as a potential site that they would be willing to assist in funding. So we're going to do that in September, and then there's also the possibility of, there's the APSAR meeting, which is the Asian Pacific Addiction something or other, is meeting in Seoul, Korea in November. And again, NIAAA is sending a number of U.S. scientists there. And I talked with Ken Warren yesterday, and one of the things that he would like to see done with this cooperative agreement that has now been established between South Korea and NIAAA is kind of a case ascertainment within a school system in Seoul, Korea. So that's another potential collaboration with CFAS. So those two things. So I think, you know, we certainly are publishing a reasonable amount these days with the CFAS logo. So I'm very pleased about that. And I think there are some potential opportunities, even though it's going to probably mean me writing supplements or something like that in order to do them. But if NIAAA is really interested in these two additional sites, then we may be able to get something going on. And I think that's about it for me.
Ed, I had a quick question regarding publications. Is there a standardized way that CFAS is acknowledged in the papers?
Many of the ones I've seen now list CFAS as an author,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the CFAS group, kind of like what they do with the COGA,
mm-hmm.
Or the grants are acknowledging in the acknowledgement section that the funding is part of the CFAS.
Yeah, I think it's really important, you know, that the CFAS gets that recognition.
Do you think we should? That's a very good idea to have kind of a standard thing that people could put in their acknowledgement section.
Might be helpful.
I think that would be helpful.
Okay. Wrap something up, send it out. You'll remind me of that later today.
We'll do it this afternoon.
Okay. Anything else? Any progress that people want to discuss? Anyone make any startling discoveries in the last 3 weeks?
Well, it's a shame Kathy's not on, because I thought she gave a wonderful talk when she received her award at the FASD study group.
Yes, she did. Kathy is quite accomplished, and it's been a pleasure to have her as part of the CFAS. So that was an excellent addition in this funding round.
Actually, a lot of member requests that whether had we taped it, her talk at the receiving the award. Unfortunately, we only have the voice. We don't have the videotaping.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she would make her slide set available, though.
You know, ask about it. She referred a few site. Maybe there's some picture. If people interested can log in to look at it. I'm trying to. He just sent me yesterday, so I'll look it over and maybe forward to the Cindy can to see if it's listed in the website.
You know, Fred Donatello is that his name, I believe, right? At NIAAA.
Donadeo.
Fred.
Yeah.
Dale. He is doing these web things. I think that would be a great one for NIAAA to consider putting on one webcast.
Mm.
Did it with Willett Mark.
Willenbring.
Yeah, and he asked me if I would want to do one on FAS, and I was going to do it, but I had just flown in from Helsinki and just didn't feel like I was up to par, and I needed some permissions that I didn't have for slides to post them on the web. But I think that Kathy would be a great one for that. Should I suggest that to him? You heard the talk, Dale, and I think it's excellent. So
yeah, it'd be nice if somehow the slides and the audio, if it could be made available, could somehow.
What they do is they bring you up there for the day, and you are not on camera; just your slides are.
Yeah.
And your voice behind them.
Yeah.
And I think that would be something that I think she could add some of the FAS stuff in there that she has. And it would just be fantastic.
Yeah, and very educational for people on the outside.
Maybe if you see him, you could suggest that, and then I'll also email him and suggest it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, anything else?
Ed, I was wondering if there had been any word on any of the administrative supplements that came out of CFAS.
So far, the only ones that I've heard about are that Elizabeth Sal's was not funded, and Sarah's one for funding to help Phil was funded as an administrative supplement. They're the only ones I heard about. So anyone have any other information?
That sounds right to me. And basically, it was extremely hard, given the response, to fund any of the larger requests. And the one that went to Sarah, in part to help out Phil May's sites, was one of those exceptions. And unfortunately, Elizabeth couldn't be funded with the amount of money that we had.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that they're being very cautious about making sure that people maintain employment or new people are hired. So, high priority mission within NIAAA. But they're the only ones that I've heard about. I mean, I think several of us have gotten summer student help, but
yes, that's true. Most of those have been funded with some cutbacks in some instances.
Right. I think everyone who basically put in one of those summer supplements for undergraduates received them, although I think they were cut back in scope in some cases. they're the only ones I know about, and I guess I should send out an email. I mean, I think that there's a conflict study section at the end of July, July 27th. I think there may be a few in there from people who are on study section or council. Go forward, but the only ones
those would be what? Those would be competitive revisions?
Competitive revisions, right. Kathy had put in for one, but I'm not all. Bill, do you remember if we got an email from her about being in an ARA supplement?
I don't recall off the top of my head. I can look.
I know that the informatics core had one in, but I don't know what happened to that.
Right, that's true. And same story as with Elizabeth's. It just wasn't possible to.
Boy, it's going to be brutal next year for R01 because all these things are going to show up as or resubmission.
Yeah, it's definitely going to keep the pipeline full. You know, they'll have to be refashioned into 4 or 5 year R01s, I think, to be credible.
Right.
That's my view. So they may not all be in synchrony, but I think there's going to be a bulge in the pipeline.
But when is that bulge going to begin? Submissions of what date?
Well, right now the challenge grants, which is the big bolus, is headed for review in August, I think, is where the bulk of them I've seen are going to be reviewed. And so those ideas are all tied up until that review is complete. And unfortunately, most of them are going to be unsuccessful and then could be resubmitted. So yeah, I think we're talking, they certainly missed this cycle, which the submission deadline just passed. So conceivably, they could get back in by November, but maybe they wouldn't have sufficient time. So we'd be going into spring of 2010.
And when do we go to 12-page for R01s?
I think that is January? I think that's at the outset of 2010, but I don't know the specific
date. I think
that's
right.
I think it's next January, February.
Yeah. So if they don't get it in, so if they wait until January, they'll be able to keep at least the length.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say January, February is going to be a big time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess.
Kathy did put in a challenge.
Pardon?
Kathy did put in a challenge grant.
Thanks, Jill. All righty. Any other comments, issues? All right, well, thank you very much, and we'll talk again next month, if not sooner. Enjoy your summer, enjoy the weather.
Have some fun sailing, Ed.
Take care.
Have some fun sailing. I'm trying to relax a little bit this month. You know, I got very ill after the RSA meeting, so stayed up for a few days. So.
He has pneumonia. He's very ill.
So,
are you okay now?
I'm finishing my antibiotics today, so.
I haven't heard you cough or gasp once.
I'm feeling a lot better.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I was not doing so well I just got beat down at that meeting, and I think that the alcohol decreased my immune response, and there was a lot of drinking going on that boat. So it was fun, though. I had a very nice time, and for anyone who was out there, thanks for coming. It was good. For those of you who didn't make it next time we're in town, all right?
It was wonderful.
So take care, and thanks for everything, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye. Take care, Ed.
Thank you, Mike.